You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Auckland and New Zealand in general has a housing crisis. However, Auckland alone has 40,000 unoccupied houses. I spoke to Dr. Anthony Huerte, a professor of architecture at the University of Auckland and director at QuakeCore, the Centre for Earthquake Resistance. We spoke about the issues with housing availability, how the issue might need to be rethought in regards to Māori housing needs, and how different materials might solve construction issues. I started off by asking him why so many people are struggling to get onto the property ladder.
So look, first of all, just want to talk to the aspiration of whether getting on the property ladder and house buying is really such a great thing. I know that's been the long-held Kiwi dream to own a house, but abroad, wealthy nations like Germany, for example, have quite significantly lower, less than 50% private house owners, because people put their money in other things other than housing. So the house is not seen as a bank. And I think one of the problems of considering housing as a commodity is we speculate. And it's probably my generation more than yours, which has led to, you know, grossly inflated housing prices as people buy, flip them on, and collect other properties. So to just talking to the first thing about vacant housing, the question of whether we should be building houses to sell or whether we should be building them to rent, that's another kind of question. That building better quality houses where the builders and the landlords retain the properties and market rents are kind of adjusted and can be fixed. It is tragic that we have vacant properties. I can't talk to specifically the reasons why that might be, except that, as you say, it's a tragedy that they are occupied. And also there's kinds of questions whether we should also be moving or whether we should try to be improving what we already have.
What is the use of cross-laminated timber and how do you see it becoming more used in Aotearoa?
Okay, so imagine New Zealand, shockingly, we've got Kaingaroa, which is one of the world's largest, well, I think it was the second largest man-made forest in the southern hemisphere. Pine grows really fast here, yet surprisingly, we are exporting our logs to China and then re-importing them as sawn timber. So it's kind of staggering, like, you know, Coles to Newcastle, you know, it's that we are exporting the very products. So with the idea of cross-laminated timber is to the type of construction, like I said, imagine plywood supersized. So cross-laminated timber can get up to thicknesses of, say, 300 mil. It can be cut straight from a computer, so it can be cut quite accurately. It's accurate to sort of about 2 millimetres, which means you've for builders and stuff, you can order things like windows from at the same time as you're ordering the CLT superstructure. So that generally speeds up the construction process. Like I said, it's a complete game changer from how we build currently in New Zealand, which is using stud. We sort of stud and fill it in with insulation, and then you put jib board on one side and then some sort of cladding on the outside. And CLT is solid, so there's no void inside the structure. And the projects we tend to do, we don't use plasterboard. I'm a big fan of plasterboard. I have heard comments, well, what about the aesthetic of like having a pine interior? Doesn't look like a Swedish sauna. And I said, well, on the other hand, we've got used to, you know, plasterboard palaces and, you know, you can knock on the wall. And so, sometimes you can have just merely a 12 millimetres plasterboard separating you from your neighbour. So CLT is different, it's solid, it's greener, allows you to build quicker.
So this isn't the end of the road for New Zealand construction?
No. No, in fact, we should be leading it. You know, we are a timber nation. We need to stop, we're also a small country, so I don't see the point of trying to build and, we're definitely moving away from concrete, although not that we tend to build many concrete housing developments, but we should definitely be trying to focus on timber technologies. A, it's greener, and B, we've got soils which can allow those species to grow very, very quickly. Of course, the other thing is, in terms of the future, there'll be a lot of treaty settlements between iwi, and of course those iwi will soon have a growing, increasingly larger share in the forests. And so the good thing also about investing in CLT construction is it's about employment, creating jobs, upskilling people in the construction industry.
Can you describe what new Māori architecture means to you?
So I've been using a term literally called Nā-architecture, which is sort of contemporary Māori architecture. And I think this is a kind of a difficult, you know, what is Māori architecture? But I can tell you firstly what it's not, and it's certainly not buildings stamped with koru, or, you know, it's not, so it's not about the visual iconography. It's not about, and I think the reason why we've seen the traditional, let's say, carved whare whakaero or carved house, and we often taken with, you know, there has been a sort of guilt amongst contemporary architecture to take the trappings of those traditions and blazon them on new buildings. But for me, contemporary Māori architecture is about the way the buildings are used. So, for example, in housing, I'll put it quite bluntly, what is Māori housing? Well, Māori housing is housing which have Māori living in it. And that is because at the moment we have a housing crisis. And before I get into, you know, get into ideological discussions about what housing means, we just need to accommodate people. And so Māori housing would mean slightly bigger houses because of intergenerational living. It also means the kind of housing which is actually smaller, because we have to design, we have to learn to design smaller, more densely, because it's more affordable. So, you know, these issues are not specific to Māori, but all Māori housing projects would definitely encompass those kinds of discussions in order to make them more affordable. It's also possible, given the complexities of land ownership, where much Māori land is owned under collective title, that problematises for Māori borrowing from a bank. So whereas in a normal European title, you could go to the bank and use your land and a certificate as title as collateral or security for borrowing, that's difficult and highly problematic on Māori land. So there is a need also for papakāinga, for a collective ownership of housing. Again, go back to build to rent. So instead of owning, a single person owning, it's possible that the iwi or the hapu could collectively own, through their trust, the land, and then one is effectively time-sharing their occupancy of housing upon it. So those are all the sort of discussions which I'm finding kind of interesting back home, and let's see how they unfold.
That was Dr. Anthony Huarte speaking to me about the future of housing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.